Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Let's get underway.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games. Right here. Woo! For King G, where comfort is king.
2, 3, 4!
Hey, ho, let's go! Triple M rocks the NRL.
Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
Nice to be with you as time rushes away from us. Just the hour to share with Mark Geyer. I'm Lawrence Ryan Girdler. My name is Tony Squires. Before we hit the our call of the 2012 State of Origin Game 3, are you calling that game, Absolutely,
I think so.
I have no idea, but you'll be well prepared. That's happening, and we'll do a little bit of a preview of that as well. We are going to play some Believe It or Not. Corey Parker will have a chat as well. But first, Mark Guy, you mentioned today or yesterday that you wouldn't mind talking about players you wouldn't mind having a beer with.
I saw this on a website. It was either the Telegraph this morning or the Fox Sports website, and the AFL were doing it. So, you know, past players that you'd love to have a beer with and present players from each club. So I thought, why not? Let's, you know, revise that a bit and just think about the one past player that you would love to sit down and have a beer with, and conversely, the modern day player that you'd love to sit down and have a couple of shandies with.
Wow. Okay.
And I've gone with, if I may.
Yo.
I thought, and it's his birthday today. This bloke is one of the best blokes I've met through rugby league. Our bond was when I first started playing. We were at each other's throat a fair bit because he was the alpha male of the spot that I wanted to play. And when I went away on a kangaroo tour with him, I found him to be the best bloke that I've, one of the best blokes I met in rugby league, and it was Paul Sirenham. Big Ciro is 55 today, Big Ciro. So I'd love to sit down with him anytime and have a beer because he's just such good value. And the modern day player, I suppose, someone, I think there's a lot I'd like to have one, even, you know, Em's brother, Chrissy Lawrence, would be good to sit down and have a beer with. He's a great kid. But I think Jake Turbo, he's kind of appeals to me because I think he might get loose on a three or four schooners.
Sweetest guy in the NRL.
Yeah, and I just think he's kind of that smile of his, and I want to see how it goes with a couple of Black Russians.
Nothing could possibly go wrong.
Come to the Pioneer Tavern, mate. We'll sit down for a while, and it happens on June 1. So out you come, Jakey.
Surely we can organise that. You're right. June 1. Suddenly you got the 50 people can be there surrounding, watching what you're getting up to. Should we grow? Right, Em, who are you thinking?
Right. Can I have a couple?
Yeah, well, a couple from the modern era.
So, one of each.
Okay.
You know the rules. So,
honestly,
I make the rules.
Made the game up and he had one.
Yeah, Em, you can have whatever you want, honey.
So, well, first for the past players, I've got to say Del. I love having a beer with Del. Yeah. Always lots of fun. Yes, and I hope Del is listening.
Mm-hmm.
And Joey. Because I loved Joey growing up. But I think I'd have to be prepared for the night, though. It can't just be going to have dinner. You've got to know that that's going to be your big night. You've allocated yourself.
You went with those two on the same night. That's a big night.
You need 6 months preparation for Joey.
And you need to put aside a week for the night that you're going to go out.
So. Yeah.
And you want to book a padded room somewhere.
I tell you, just off track, just quickly, on that last dance, obviously Michael Jordan's been fantastic. I'd love to see one on Joey Johns.
Yeah, absolutely.
An 8-part series on him. It'd just be a fantastic watch, I reckon.
Yeah, and I reckon he would, you know, sitting down as Michael Jordan did and talking through it. Phenomenal, doco, that one. Okay, who's the past player?
Current player. I would say Cameron Munster because he seems pretty fun when you do interviews. He's always got good banter, so
there you go.
I'd say good chat. So I don't think there'd ever be that awkward lull in conversation. You know, he's always
like tapping your fingers on the table, going, Yeah.
You know, there'd never be a lull. He's good banter. Always got something to say.
All right.
Yep. Is that okay? Is that you're glaring at me? Is that answer fine with you?
No, I think that's a good. I actually Munster was in my list, but you can only say one. You said two. For me, there's something about the Englishman that come over to our game that's always appealed to me. Ellery Hanley for me.
Yeah.
Like I would have loved to. I never played against Ellery, and I never got to sort of meet him or sit down with him or whatever. I'd love to sit down and have a chat with Ellery. Apparently, he's a larger than life character. Had a good a lot of good stories and a lot of good reports. He was a good human being as well. And in today's game, I've got to say, I've got to, along the same lines, Johnny Bateman.
Yeah.
Just seems like a guy that maybe me and Hoops could go and sit down with and have a beer. And James Graham, another guy that, you know, just never a dull moment with. So probably those guys.
All right. Okay. Well, in the old players, I'm just going to say his name because I have had a chance to have a bit of time with him, and sadly we lost him last week, was Arthur Summons. A great fun bloke.
Yeah.
Absolute, with great stories and hilarious, great sense of humour as well. And sadly missed Arthur Summons. And the modern players, Cameron Smith. Because I'm sure we wouldn't have to pay for anything.
Especially in Melbourne.
Exactly.
In Melbourne. Clicky fingers, eh?
Exactly. Brent Reed will join us next for breaking news on the Warriors. Wow, that's breaking news to me as well. That's next.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
INXS need you tonight. This is the Saturday Scrum, all thanks to King G, where comfort is king. Now, I read to you from my computer screen, Brent Reed joining us next for breaking news on Warriors. It seems he breaks all those big news stories on the golf course. G'day, Reedy.
Hello, boys. and girls.
Yes, where are you playing?
I'm playing Royal Bergala with my son and a couple of mates.
All right, and you're just trying to keep up. What is the what's going on? What's the news?
Yeah, look, the Warriors have been given approval for that loan deal. So for the other clubs have been notified this afternoon that they can now loan players to the Warriors. It'll be initially for 4 weeks, but they can extend it beyond that. And as I understand it, Peter O'Sullivan and Steve Kearney are going to sit down this afternoon, look at five or six players and decide what they're going to do, who they're going to pick up and move forward.
Does that include, is it just loans of current players? Is Gal still in the mix?
Actually, you know what? Gallen actually made a formal approach to the club this week. Well, not Paul did, but Dave Riolo did, his agent. And I think the club basically said, look, we've only got one spot on their roster left. They're keeping that for Ben Murdoch-Masilla. Gal would have had to have played on a train and trial contract, which is basically $2,000 to train and $3,000 a game, I think. And we all know how much Gal loves his cash. So that will test how much he wants to come back.
What names are there then that are floating around?
Well, the interesting one that's bobbed up lately is Russell Packer, who obviously was at the West Tigers and struggled a bit there last year. But I know his name's currently on the Warriors' radar. I'm not sure. I don't think that's been pushed by the club per se. I think his name's just been one of the names that they're discussing. They want to get Ben Murdoch-Masilla back from England.
Mm.
I think Ben was going to go and talk to the club in the next 24 hours about potentially getting out of his deal over there and coming back and playing for the Warriors. And as I said, they've got about five or six players on that list. So they've got some options.
Well, that's common sense, isn't it? We all, you know, we keep talking about the plight of the Warriors, and they've got over $1 million on the sideline through injuries. A couple have happened over here since they've been training and stuff. So I love that. That's a big tick for common sense for once.
Well, I'm surprised it took this long, to be honest, MG. I mean, you know, they've been agitating for a while now to make it happen, and I'm surprised it actually took the NRL this long to come on board. But now they've got it done, I think we'll see some movement in the next 24 hours. And look, there's a lot of movement around the clubs at the moment in general. We saw the John Bateman story, which has come out. And, you know, there's a few clubs who are very interested in John Bateman. So John Bateman won't be at Canberra next year. I think you can take that as read.
Wow. Ooh, despite the fact that he's come out on Twitter and said that that's not true?
Well, I think what John's... it's semantics, right? John's saying, I haven't asked for a release. Well, he hasn't asked for a release, but basically they've gone to the club and the club's made it clear they can't upgrade and extend him. So as a result of that, they've said we can, you know, you can go and explore your options elsewhere. And that's, you know, it's a bit mischievous from John, to be honest. I mean, you know, I think, oh, so I'm going to get the way, I'm going to get hit by a ball.
Stay in the way.
Kidding,
Reedy.
John, I'd be stunned if John's at Canberra next year. You know, there's a few clubs that are obvious. Canterbury, the Dragons looking for someone after Tyson Frizzell's departure.
Yep.
There's some really obvious clubs if you think about it. I think Canterbury's the early favourite to sign John Bateman. But he won't be there next year.
He would look good in a red and white jersey, but is he asking for what, 750, 800 or something?
Well, the mail is, he's on about 570 with a car, as I understand it. The mail is, the asking price is about 800, but
wow.
there's not many clubs who can afford him, particularly in the current climate, but the Dogs are one. The Dragons are one. The Warriors are potentially one. So there are some clubs that can make it happen if they want it.
There you go.
And Reedy, how are you hitting them?
Mate, you know what? I had a reasonable front. And I wiped the first, but my next 8 holes were pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing worse
when you're on that first tee and everyone's watching you.
this hole's been pretty ordinary because I've got an earpiece in. It's hard to swing, but anyway.
you do know, Tony, that Balgowla is a putt-putt course, don't you?
Mate, hey, Gerd, you're not far wrong. It's not far short of that.
Yeah. 120-metre holes.
I'm a 67-metre pitching wedge here. You want me to run you through it?
Yeah, come on. Talk us.
I've duffed it. Hit a 15 metres.
No, well, at least you're honest. I would have said, exactly.
Hit the hole. Nah. It's radio, Reedy. What are you doing?
No, I've dead said duffed it. Hit a 15 metres.
Keep your head down, Brett.
I'm blaming the radio. I should get a mulligan for that.
Mulligan.
Good work. All right, Reedy. Thanks so much. We'll chat again very soon, I'm sure.
See you guys. See you.
Bye, buddy.
Bye.
See you. Speaking of mulligans, we're going to offer the three of you a mulligan on who you chose to be playing in the grand final. What a segue, Sam.
Some of your best work.
Who you chose earlier, before the season started, has it now that all the landscape has changed? Who is going to play in the grand final of season 2020? This is the Saturday Scrum Triple M.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king.
Triple M rocks footy.
We're talking to Reedy there about mulligans. He was on the golf course as he gave us some breaking news about the Warriors. As I said, I'm going to offer the three of you mulligan. You may not need to take them up. The idea being, of course, that just a couple of weeks ago, when the season proper began, you made your fearless predictions about who would be in the grand final, who would win the grand final. Given that it's a completely changed landscape now, two weeks played, a huge break, suddenly a shortened season of 18 rounds, you can go back or you can stick solid. Emma, I think you might have gone the Eels and the Roosters for the grand finalists.
Yep.
All change. Wow.
I still think it can be the Eels and the Roosters.
Well, that's not a massive statement.
Still can be there. That's definitely an option. Look.
They're definitely two of the teams that could be there.
Can I just chuck something left field in there? Can I put Manly in there?
Yeah. Go for it.
But you have to take one out.
I realise that. I know how grand final works. Okay,
good. No, that's good.
Two teams. Okay, Manly and Para.
Manly v Para. Okay, so you've dumped the Roosters because
it's risky.
They're 0-2. They're 0-2. The Roosters. So you know, maybe they're coming from too far back already. Yep. Okay, you're going Eels and Manly. Mm-hmm. Mark Geyer, who did you?
I had Raiders and the Eels.
Okay,
and I'm sticking with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sticking with them. I think. I think both clubs are in that window of opportunity. And I think most of the Parramatta's team are around the 25, 26, 27 mark. They're just building beautifully. The acquisition of Madison and Campbell Gillard is a good one. The re-signing of some key players in Gutherson and Moses and Brown and I think Reed Marnie's close to re-signing with them as well. They've just got a really great roster. As for the Raiders, well, when you lose one like they lost one last year, that hurts for a long time. And I can bet that Ricky Stewart, every time they walk into training, is reminding them of it. You know, if BJ Lalua passes the ball to Jordan Rapana instead of dumbing it, they win. They're one pass away from it. If you get the six to go and all that kind of stuff, they're one pass away from winning a comp. And when you get that close, it burns. And with the current, you know, the Bateman issue is going to have some effect on them. I think Ricky Stewart should deal with that straight away. If he doesn't want to be there, well, you say to him, well, you know, if you don't want to be here, we don't want you. And that's hard on the Raiders because they took a gamble on getting Bateman out when no one even had heard of him. And it took a risk and paid him $600,000 a year for that risk. Now he wants $800,000. That's rugby league for you, bud, isn't it, in a nutshell?
Yep. All right, Ryan Girdler, you had the Raiders as well, and had Melbourne Storm.
Yeah, look, I agree with a little bit of concern over the Raiders, given the fact that they have to travel to Campbelltown. I mean, they've got to fly to their home games, so it's going to be you know, some challenges there for all the clubs. But I think they've got a big one there, travelling every week, basically going somewhere that they're not, you know, accustomed to going to. So that's a bit of a challenge. The Bateman thing needs to be nipped in the bud. immediately because he's one of their core senior players. He's a guy that I think, you know, the rest of his teammates really look up to and respect, and he needs to be happy, and they need to know that he's going to be happy, because just in those grand final windows, you know, you need for it to all come together, you need everything to go right, you know, and sometimes a little spanner in the works here and there is just enough to, you know, lose focus or get someone offside, and then things don't go your way and it can all be over. But I still think they'll be in the grand final, along with Melbourne, who I think have probably got the best pack in the competition, guys like Bromwich, and Cam, is it his last year? Are they going to be playing for him at the back end of the season? You got Dale Finucane in there, you've got Kaufusi, and then in the backs, the stability around Hughes coming in and playing a bit more at seven, Pappenhausen having enough games under his belt now to be kind of, you know, really making his impression in first grade. So I think those two clubs will be there. The thing with Parramatta, I think what Parramatta will struggle to deal with is the expectation of everyone. I think they're a club that if they're going to win the premiership, no one's going to talk about them at the start of the year. They're going to start a little run sort of maybe, you know, third of the way through the year, and they're going to come home strong and they're going to win the thing. I'm just not sure whether they've got the playing group there with the experience to handle all the expectation all the way through a season.
Okay. Can you, in terms of the Bateman, the John Bateman thing at the Raiders, so what were you saying? It's presumptuous if it is. Now, this is the question. We spoke to Rudy about that as well, because you mentioned that it had been denied idea of him.
I have the tweet.
You have the
tweet.
So, because our great colleague and from Fox Sports as well as Triple M, James Hooper, broke the story, yes?
He broke the story basically saying that the Raiders had rejected four separate requests for a release. Mm-hmm. John Bateman, he's very active on social media. So on Twitter, he has retweeted this saying, "You better stick to polishing that bald head, big fella, because your poo emoji at being a journo. Never once have I asked for a release. Bull, S-H-I-T story, hashtag fake news."
Wow. Yeah. So that's a denial of sorts.
We have our first feud of 2020.
Yeah. Gee, it's an interesting one, John Bateman Hoops.
Who would you back?
Well, Bateman, as I said earlier, I don't think violence is the way to resolve things.
That's right.
Oh, of course.
In a debate?
Put it this way.
Yes, that's what I mean.
Hoops would win an arm wrestle, but I don't know about the rest of it. I think Bateman could throw him.
But so is it a case of semantics, as Reedy said, so that if he wasn't actively seeking a release, but there's been some, you know, talking to others or allowing it? Because today's story from Hoops said that the club is allowing him to test his value on the marketplace.
There's plenty of different ways to skin a cat, isn't there, Tony?
That's right.
And that's exactly what he's doing. He feels his manager would have probably just given him a tap on the shoulder and said, "Mate, you're worth more than what you're being paid. Now, how do we go about, you know?"
Is he? He was sensational last year.
He was brilliant. But, you know, your first year in first grade can sometimes be easiest because no one really knows what to expect.
Or he's knows got what a, you're doing, yeah.
He's got a lot of good people around him. He played in a very good Canberra side last year that, you know, almost went on to win the title. So he needs to be careful as well as his value. He goes to a club like St George that are struggling or rebuilding or whatever, Canterbury or whatever it may be. He mightn't have the same sort of success given the fact that the Raiders have, you know, so many key players that other teams need to watch, especially with the football. So,
yeah.
He's a good player, but I'd like to see him definitely, you know, have another really strong season again this year.
Yep.
And then maybe go to the Raiders at the end of his second year and go, "Look, I've done it 2 years in a row now. Maybe I'm worth just a little bit more if you want to keep me."
I would have thought he'd been so comfortable in Canberra, given that it is a team with four or five English players as well. So he'd have that sense of camaraderie with it as well.
This is the exact thing that they don't need right now, Raiders. This is what they don't need. You know, it's they haven't played a game yet, and all of a sudden there's talk that their star player could be leaving them before a footy's been kicked. That's not good for the Raiders.
And all clubs, whenever there's something like this, at the time they're asked about it, and they always say, no, it's not a distraction.
Oh.
But the following year, they'll always end up saying, no, look, that was a massive distraction for us, talking about our main players leaving the club or the coach under pressure. They always end up admitting it's a distraction.
Yeah.
And chat with Corey Parker very soon. And believe it or not, right here on the Saturday Scrum, Triple M.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king.
Triple M rocks footy.
Mark Guy, Emma Lawrence, Ryan Girdler, Tony Squires with you. Just 25 minutes to share. It is all rushing away very quickly, but it is time for this.
Believe it or not.
The listen to that all day. Believe it or not, it's a very, very simple segment. I'm going to throw a few ideas at the three of you. You have to tell me whether you believe it or not. It's as simple as that. And I'm going to start with you, Mark Guy. Believe it or not, player agents have too much power in the NRL.
Oh, yeah, of course they do. when I played back in the 90s, I think there was two or three accredited, maybe four or five. If now we, I think we've got, you know, over a couple of hundred player managers. So, yeah, of course. I think, and I think this is probably going to be one on his list. When you're on Peter Vallandi's list, look out, because he's coming to get you. And I think he'll do something to stop that trend from escalating, because we're seeing it a lot more than we used to. We're basically seeing clubs held at ransom when player managers have five or six of their players under the same umbrella. So, of course they do. Of course they do. And that's going to, I think under Vallandi's watch, that'll change.
Goods. Player agents have too much power.
Yeah,
in the NRL.
Look, I think they have a lot of power. Yeah, and I think it gets ambiguous when you have, you know, a lot of players and they have the coach at the one club, and that's when it becomes really difficult. Like you see with the Brisbane Broncos at the moment, with I think Isaac Moses has got a lot of their roster and the coach and things like that. I'm just not sure that it's in the best interest of the game, and I hope someone comes along. And there's some managers out there do a really good job at the same time. But I think some of them take advantage of their or leverage off their current situation.
Em?
I agree. At times, yes, not all of them, but a similar situation happened at the Tigers going back a couple of years ago when we had Tedesco, Mitch Moses, Aaron Woods potentially going to leave. And it was a similar kind of situation being able to do the same thing. But some, not all of them do that. Yep. And there are some even, I know, some split up to avoid that situation. Some companies have one that just looks after players. So I know that SFX do that. I know George Mimas and Daryl Mather split them up.
Yep.
So one has players, one has coaches to avoid getting in situations like that.
All right. Seems like belief all around there. Believe it or not, now we've been talking about the draw. We're talking about various other television schedule. The Parramatta Eels have just had it beautifully. Their draw is wonderful. The teams they play twice. It's right there at the top. They are going to be playing out of Bankwest Stadium, which is their home ground. Other teams are going to come to them to play their own home games against the Eels. So here is your believe it or not. Ryan Girdler, the NRL are desperate for the very popular club, the Parramatta Eels, to win the competition.
Sacre bleu.
Wow. Are you kidding me? No, don't believe it. It can't be. It can't be, can it? No,
about?
I don't think so. I don't think so. No,
it's big fan base.
I think they've got a. The NRL have given
five games
the Eels,
in a row at Bankwest. Yeah.
You think they've given a morale run so they can lift the trophy?
I'm just saying.
No. You are implying.
I'm not. No. Whoever wrote this?
Yeah, Charlie.
Who wrote this? Charlie. Producer Charlie. What? Producer are you Charlie. Saying you don't do all of this work for us?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm sorry I said that last bit out loud. I did this.
Okay, oh, you're tone.
Yeah. Okay, MG, the NRL are desperate for the Parramatta Eels to win the competition.
Oh, look, no, I couldn't see. They haven't won since 86.
Exactly. It's a fairy tale. The longest run, apart from obviously those who haven't won one yet.
Ironically, the two clubs I think will make the grand final have the longest drought with the Raiders 94, if you take out the Titans and the Warriors, obviously. But they are a well-supported club, but so are the Rabbitohs and Roosters and maybe the fact that this, you know, the Panthers in out here in the West. And
yep.
Look, like I just couldn't see it. I don't. Deep down, they might want them to win for the fairy tale ride with for the broadcasters and stuff. But you really can't manipulate the competition to allow one club to win.
Can't you? Can't you? Okay. All right. Well, M, yes. Do you want to consult your lawyers before answering the question? The NRL are desperate for the Parramatta Eels to win the.
No,
club.
They
Plead
are
the
not.
Fifth.
Sure,
the fifth.
It would be a good thing for them, but they're not the only fairy tale story. I think the best fairy tale story this year is if the Warriors win the comp.
Yes.
I think the NRL would love for the Warriors to win the comp this year. Last year,
that's
a
movie right there. Yeah.
Yes, it would be. Last year would have been the Raiders just because we'd seen the Roosters already winning it. So I think anything that's going to get a fair bit of, firstly, a team that's well supported, but one that will get. Has a good storyline to it, so gets more media coverage. So I don't think it's the Eels alone. Okay. So I'm saying no.
All right, well, I'll jump
to... It's a big risk, Tone, if you're going to put that doco together. I mean, if they go through and win it, you know, it'll be worth every moment you spend filming. But if If they don't, the Warriors, you're going to rely on the Warriors exactly. to film a doco.
If they
go through and win the comp this year, you'd be a brave man, wouldn't you?
If at round 10 they just give up and go home. This is rubbish.
Well, at least we get to travel overseas.
Exactly. All right, well, let's go to the Warriors then. My next believe it or not is, and this actually comes from a listener from New Zealand, Benny, who is a Warriors supporter. Believe it or not, the NRL should take, well, the NRL Commission really, should take State of Origin to New Zealand as a reward for the Warriors and what they've done.
Well, how does that reward the Warriors?
Well, it rewards the people of New Zealand, the supporters of the Warriors, and the Warriors have been over here. You know, I think it's great. Don't argue with me, argue with Benny.
Okay.
I think Benny's hit the nail on the head. Next year, when everything's back to normal, hopefully, and we've got, you know, three games to play, and I don't see anything wrong with taking one to New Zealand, showing our appreciation for the sacrifices they've made, not while cementing the old Anzac spirit. We take them to Perth and we take them to Adelaide. Adelaide hasn't seen one yet, but I think New Zealand would be fantastic for the game, to take a game to New Zealand.
I think it would be a great idea. I mean, usually the purpose is to be growing it in a market where rugby league is not so popular, such as Perth and Adelaide, but I think it would be a great reward, and particularly given we may still be able to get an international of sorts in potentially with New Zealand at the end of the year, but obviously deprived of international footy as well. So I think, why not take it over there?
If there's an appetite for it, Tony, I get it. But why not take the magic round over there? The Warriors are involved. They had the Nines over there. That worked really well. And really reward the Warriors players to get to play that, on that sort of... and that sort of weekend in front of their fans, and then also the fans, and they've got the facilities to do it. They've already tested it for the Nines. Why not give them the magic round instead?
I like that idea too.
Give them both.
Yeah, okay.
Give them both.
A beautiful agreement on the panel. I like it. And finally, just very quick answers. Emma, Billy Harrigan would still be the best referee in the game.
I don't know about the best, but I'd like to see him come back.
Okay, good.
He'd still have it.
Yeah. I'd like to see him with a flag. I'd like to see him on the sideline, Billy.
You couldn't.
Do you reckon he'd lower himself?
You could not do that. No, as he says himself,
he'd still be good enough, Billy. He could do it.
When he'd go out to dinner with touch judges, they had to put the flag up before they were allowed to end the conversation. What do you think, MG?
He'd be up there. He'd be up there. You don't lose it. He's always a fitness fanatic. So, we have got some really good referees in the competition at the moment. So Billy might be on the second echelon.
And if you've just woken up and just joined us, of course, we should tell
you've had
you
a big night.
the referees are all on board as of last night as well. So we're going to chat with Corey Parker before the show. We've only got about 10 minutes left to share with you right here on the Scrum Triple M.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king.
Triple M rocks footy.
Tony Squires, Ryan Gerler, Mark Guy, Emma Lawrence with you. Before we chat with Corey Parker, who is on the line ready to go, just in addition to this John Bateman story, what is the latest, Em?
Yes, so Hoops basically said John Bateman wants a release. He came out on social media and said that is not true, but confirmation now from Don Ferner. He spoke into Hoops, kept it very short and sweet. He said, yes, it's very true. We've given John permission to test his value on the open market. That's all I'll say on the matter.
Wow, okay.
So it is apparently true.
There you have it.
Juicy.
Love it. And thank you so much for joining us on the show, Mr. Corey Parker. G'day, mate.
Afternoon, guys. How are you going?
Very well. Are you in the market for a rugged English back rower at all in Brisbane named John Bateman?
We're pretty well sorted with back rowers, with Dave Fafita and Pango and a couple other young bucks on their way through. But interesting story, wasn't it? I saw it yesterday. It was a bit of a war of words on social media platforms, but as you just mentioned there, maybe it is true.
And speaking of big blokes running around that you could use, Ben Tia, we spoke to Dobbo a little while ago. Now, apparently he's been training on the facility nearby and maybe up and running. What's the story?
Yeah, well, it's my understanding that Ben Tia is still currently contracted to the Sunwolves. Now, if the Sunwolves and the rugby does fall through, well, then Ben Tia is an available agent. And until such time, I suppose that's how you've got to treat it. Now, I wasn't privy to what Dobbo said, but, I mean, if Ben Tia is available and he's willing to play for a minimum wage, well, you'd be mad not to sort of jump on Ben Tia. He's done everything in the game. He's won a competition. He's played international rugby, for England. He's played State of Origin. He's got a wealth of experience. So, I mean, he'd be a fantastic acquisition for any team, let alone Brisbane. Now, he does have a young family, and he is based in Brisbane. So, fingers crossed, if that is the case, it could work out.
Corey, we've spoken to a couple of players about their experiences with the bubble and having to just go to training and go home. But tell me what it's like for you. Is it the same, just training home, nothing else? Your family can go out, but you just have to go straight home as well?
Yeah, pretty much like that. I mean, once you're part of the Apollo Register, you've got to fill out a series of questions on a daily basis. Now, there is a bit of common sense prevails. Like if you're, like me, for example, you're a father and you got four kids and you need to drop the kids at school, that's acceptable. And if you need to go to the shop and pick up some food, that's acceptable. So it's just about limiting, I suppose, your whereabouts and what you're doing in and around as, I suppose, the wider population starts to now loosen a little bit in regards to some of the protocols. So we just need to be real diligent in and around that area. And that was part and parcel of getting the game back up and running on the 28th of May.
Big loss, not a big loss. He's been a fantastic player for the Broncos, Andrew McCulloch. And it's an astute buy from Newcastle, Corey. After young Brayley went down with an injury, a season ending injury, but Ben Teo, back to him. What a buy that would be for you guys. Just to put a little bit of experience amongst these young bucks.
Yeah, MG. Yeah, if that comes to fruition, and there's sort of some, I suppose, a bit of momentum in around the Ben Teo chat now that Andrew McCulloch. I just want to touch on Andrew for a moment.
Yep,
he was signed when he was a 13-year-old kid. He's played 260 games. He's in the top 10 players that have, in terms of games played for the Broncos. So he's a huge part of the Broncos fabric. Now, the disappointing situation anyway is, you have a guy that's done so much for your club and has given so much. Now he just sort of, he doesn't even get a real chance to say goodbye, which is pretty sad on the one hand. Yes, football's all about opportunity, as we all know, and there's a great opportunity for him down at Newcastle since Brayley's breakdown of injury. So he was behind, I suppose, Jake Turpin here in regards to starting 13. And, he's taken up that. He'd be a great acquisition for Newcastle Knights, particularly just with his experience. His work ethic is second to none. He's a terrific defensive player. His service out of dummy half will suit, will suit Mitch Pearce and obviously Kalen Ponga. So, a lot of talk was in around the Knights in terms of Brayley breaking down and maybe their season was sort of derailed. Well, it's certainly back up and running now.
What about you guys started off obviously on a really positive note, Corey, and this little break? I mean, how the boys handled that? Siebs likes to do things pretty much by the book. Is everyone in sort of good spirits? Everyone up and about and ready for the first game?
Yeah, pretty exciting stuff now, Gerds. I mean, we train tomorrow and in preparation for the Thursday game. But full credit to the team. Now, I can only speak on behalf of the Broncos. But, on that 7 weeks off, I think having such a young side means they sort of bounce back quite quickly. They looked after themselves as best they could, which meant, when we did get back to training, you could probably really sort of delve into the football side of things rather than trying to get them up to speed fitness-wise. So, that's been really pleasing. The exciting thing now is, we had two wins to start the 2020 season is to continue that. And what better way to do it? I mean, the NRL have obviously put their heads together and thought, how do we get this competition back up and running in terms of eyeballs? And they've put the Broncos up against Parra and then we got the Roosters. So, it should be a terrific clash considering the last time those two teams met was in the semi-finals last year and we all know how that'll end it. So plenty to play for.
Corey Parker, in terms of being in an isolation style of bubble of 30 players and coaching staff, who else would you want than Alfie Langer?
it's you're spot on. But the thing with it is you can't really even let the hair down as such. As Elf, as we all know, Elf, that's one of his biggest strengths is his party liaison style. It's not like you can really let your hair down because if you did let your hair down, you can't jump in a cab or an Uber and head home. You've got to drive home yourself by yourself. So that could be a whole new storyline.
Absolutely.
Alf would find a way around that.
Absolutely. Now, Corey, of course, you're the official 2020 KFC Super Coach Ambassador.
Yeah, Supercoach is back. It obviously had a bit of a halt like the rest of the season. And for everyone that's out there playing Supercoach, well, they got their opportunity now to have a little look. And I suppose, you know, from my point of view, I had Dave Fifita in my team, and he obviously won't be part of my side moving forward for the next few weeks. But, yeah, it was, come off with a bang. Supercoach, it's a great way for people to actually have another look at rugby league. I know from a personal experience, you know, you've got some people and you put your CEO's hat on, you've got a salary cap, you try and fit all the best players you can under a cap, which is very hard to do. And you watch it a little bit differently. So yeah, it's a great way to play. You don't need to pay any money or sign up. You just get involved.
Yeah, join for free now at supercoach.com.au.
You find yourself going for teams that you ordinarily wouldn't. You go because your players in
that's
that
right.
Team.
You get a couple of cheapies on a couple of people you don't even really know too much about. You just start whipping them home, hoping they score.
Corey Parker, thanks so much for joining us. All the best for this season.
Cheers, guys. Appreciate it.
See you, buddy.
There is Corey Parker. And sadly, that is all the time we have for today. I'm very, very sorry.
We're talking about football next week, Tony.
There will be football from Thursday. I can't wait till next Saturday when we run our eye over what has happened thus far. Thanks for your company today. We'll see you next Saturday. Bye-bye. Thanks to King G.